Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scover, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable. Next up, we discuss the passages from The Yellow Wallpaper by Charlotte Perkins Gilman and A Wrinkle in Time by Madeline L'Engle.
So now we're to The Yellow Wallpaper by Charlotte Perkins Gilman. This is such a short little book. I mean, you could read this book in half an hour. I read fast, so I don't know, maybe an hour. But which are your favorites of this one?
I love the describing of the wallpaper itself, like the one you have listed at the top.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites too. Yeah.
Yes, sprawling, flamboyant patterns committing every artistic sin. It was dull enough to confuse the eye and following, pronounced enough to constantly irritate and provoke study. And when you follow the lame, uncertain curves for a little distance, they suddenly commit suicide. Plunges off at outrageous angles, destroy themselves in unheard of contradictions. The color is repellent, almost revolting, a smoldering, unclean yellow, strangely faded by the slow turning sunlight. I mean, it's just so delicious.
Yep.
So delicious.
Yep. It goes on a little bit more, and it's just really a good quote. And I love how it ends with, "There comes John, and I must put this away. He hates to have me write a word." Mm-hmm. I mean, here she's just written. This is, now again, you have to read The Yellow Wallpaper. We're not going to do spoiler alerts. We've talked about The Yellow Wallpaper in our podcast already, so listen to those if you want to know what it's about. But it's a woman who, you know, basically is a creative soul, and she's been told not to do her creations, not to write, as if it's somehow bad for her psyche, her mental health, right? And she's kind of shut up in this room with hideous yellow wallpaper, and she secretly still writes and all that stuff, but she has to keep that away from her doctor husband, and he's the doctor in charge of her mental health, right? And so here she's just written this descriptive, lurid, you know, very visual passage about this wallpaper that is her world right now, she's surrounded by, and the last line is, "There comes John, and I must put this away. He hates to have me write a word." Not even a word. And yet she's just written all these words about this wallpaper. So that's a really good quote. I think that's a good one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I also love, and I think this was one of your favorites, where she discovers the woman creeping behind the wallpaper trying to get out.
Yeah.
So I really have discovered something at last. Through watching so much at night, when it changes so, I have finally found out. The front pattern does move, and no wonder, the woman behind shakes it. Sometimes I think there are a great many women behind, and sometimes only one, and she crawls around fast, and her crawling shakes it all over. Then, in very bright spots, she keeps still, and in the very shady spots, she just takes hold of the bars and shakes them hard. And she is all the time trying to climb through, but nobody could climb through that pattern. It strangles so. I think that is why it has so many heads. They get through, and then the pattern strangles them off and turns them upside down and makes their eyes white.
I love that. And that I think that's probably my favorite one. And here's partly why. Obviously, the visuals and the feelings in that evoke a lot, and I think could be very inspiring. But there's something historical almost about this. While you were reading that, and then the line, "Sometimes I think there are a great many women behind, and sometimes only one." When you were reading that, I was like thinking of the women's marches. I was thinking of Harriet Tubman helping free slaves who had escaped. I was thinking of the women of our country, past, present, and hopefully future, that have great many women behind them. You know, I was thinking of individual women whose names we may not know, some whose names we do know, who lift up and carry all women on their shoulders with them as they do difficult things. And this is a book about mental health. This is a book about female subjugation and female trying to be empowering, you know, self-empowerment and everything. And I just feel like this passage really kind of has so much in it that we're barely scratching the surface, if I may scratch the wallpaper, you know, scratching the surface a little bit about this. I think this one, and there's a passage about peeling the wallpaper off that I think is also really, really good too.
Yes.
But this is definitely one of my top two.
Yeah, I would put, I'll put it, the one that we just read, I'll put it my top one, because I love the description of the yellowness.
Yeah,
I think that the social implications are much stronger
right.
in this with the creeping woman.
Right. And the title of the book is The Yellow Wallpaper. In our podcast, we're going to be discussing the physical look of the wallpaper and, you know, how that makes us feel. And I think one of the great questions that we can just ask in general about this, because have you ever seen something, you know, like wallpaper in a house or fabric of a dress or something that was just so hideous, but somehow you were drawn to it? Because that's almost what this hideous yellow wallpaper is, right? You identify with it, but it's so hideous. So, okay. So maybe it's just the very next passage, very, very short.
So, yeah.
Yeah, the very short passage. As soon as it was moonlight and that poor thing began to crawl and shake the pattern, I got up and ran to help her. I pulled and she shook. I shook and she pulled. And before morning, we had peeled off yards of that paper. There's just something about that that is just really, really great. I mean, she's totally crazy right now because, of course, there's not really a woman in the wallpaper, you know, but she's seeing this woman in the wallpaper and she's interacting with this woman and she's partnering with this imaginary woman in the wallpaper and they are doing something together about the wallpaper. And I just love that, you know, I just think it's great. But it's very short. I'm not sure that's, you know, one of the best ones.
I love that one. I think I'm ready to commit to my top selection.
Okay.
And that's going to be the one where it talks about the woman behind
yeah.
the wallpaper.
Okay. That works for me. I like that one. If we can just go ahead and say that's the winner, I think that's fine with me. Yep. Huzzah! We have a winner for the yellow wallpaper. 1 out of 3. All right. Okay. So now we're going to move on to A Wrinkle in Time by Madeline L'Engle. Oh boy, that's another book that it's really hard to pick one passage out of. It's such a funny little book. It's such a strange little book. And I don't mean funny little book or strange little book in a condescending way. I just mean it's odd. And it's odd in such wonderful ways, you know. So what are your top ones for this? I know.
I'll have to glance through again.
I know this is a tough one. I have a lot of passages in this book that are similar to each other that we selected.
Well, even though it's super short, I do love the like and equal are not the same thing at all thematically. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much there is visually or orally to inspire an artist, but
yeah.
I really like that quote thematically.
Yeah, I do too. And there's the one right above it that we have. You see, though we travel together, we travel alone. That's also just one line. Mm-hmm. But both of those one-liners are really great. I agree with you that that might be not giving our artistic inspiration enough to work with. I mean, clearly people could work with that, but it may not be quite enough to really get where we want to go with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm scrolling back up on my list. Let's see. We haven't got the first one highlighted, but I really do like the first one a lot, too. I love the second one because it's just so descriptive, and I love the ocean, so that's one that I love. I'll read that one because it is a good lyrical one. And this feeling of moving with the earth was somewhat like the feeling of being in an ocean. Out in the ocean beyond this rising and falling of the breakers, lying on the moving water, pulsing gently with the swells and feeling the gentle, inexorable tug of the moon. Ooh, I love it. Mm, that's so beautiful. I don't know if that's a great one for the project, but I just love the moon and the ocean and all that. So,
I feel that those are powerful motifs.
Yeah, motifs. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like the one about it seemed to travel with her to sweep her aloft in that power of song so that she was moving in glory among the stars. And for a moment, she too felt that the words darkness and light had no meaning and only this melody was real.
That is definitely my top two. Yeah, okay. I love that one. And the other one I think that would be right up there with my top two is kind of, well, let me think about that for a minute. I think it would probably be the one that says, we do not know what things look like, as you say, the beast said. We know what things are like. It must be a very limiting thing, this seeing. That one kind of sticks for me. I guess I have a top three, because that's one that's the one that you highlighted right underneath it. Is, yeah, these are similar, very similar things that they say. There's just something about, you know, the emphasis on human beings with seeing, and as someone whose eyesight is slowly going away from me, and that has affected my artwork and different things and how I approach art and painting, that all these quotes that have to do with what things look like as opposed to what they are and actually seeing really speak to me. But I kind of think the one you read about the darkness and the light is probably one of the best. Now, the other one I was going to say is one of my top three is the one that is kind of negative. What could there be about a shadow that was so terrible that she knew that there had never been before or ever would be again anything that would chill her with a fear beyond the possibility of comfort? Mm-hmm. What I love about that is that if you've ever had a situation of paralyzing fear, that's exactly what it feels like. I mean, it's a very real description written very beautifully. And, you know, we don't, as a culture, we don't talk about and admit to fear a lot. That's not something that, you know, we talk about a lot. And yet fear is usually, when someone's acting angry, it's usually because they're afraid of something. They're afraid of losing something. They're afraid of being hurt. They're afraid of an unknown consequence of a situation, and so they lash out in anger, right? And so I feel like addressing the concept of fear that is so paralyzing and so frightening that it's beyond the possibility of comfort would be an intriguing quotation, but I don't know.
Right, I do like that one too. It is very powerful. One thing that now, as we're narrowing down our Sula quotes, mm-hmm. if we do wind up doing the circles and circles of sorrow, mm-hmm. I would kind of stay away from the chilling with a fear, because we have a great love of things that are dark.
Yeah, we do. We always go to the dark. Yeah, we do. We do. Okay, so then I think the one that sweeps her aloft in the power of song, I think we both felt from the get-go that that was one of the best top quotes we had. Okay. And so I'm fine with that one if you're fine with that one.
Great, let's do that one.
All right. We've got two out of four. I knew what the hardest ones were going to be, Sula and Tarzan.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.